Hello. Well, good evening, world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and of course, TuneIn. And on TuneIn, you can dial us in or tune us in or suck us in or, well, do whatever you want there. I don't want to characterize what it is you do, but you're pulling us in, okay? You're pulling it. You're pulling it and us, and you're bringing it in on TuneIn, and you can check us out no matter where you are. I don't care. Doesn't make any difference now. There was a time back in the day, in the early days of cell phones, that they had a thing, a service, a cell phone. I forget the name of it now. But it was a wild thing. What was the name of that phone?
What did it do?
It claimed to be able to get you connected no matter where you were in the world. And I want to use the name, I want to say Iridium, but that's a
Iridium, my God, that's a radioactive element.
Yeah, I know. It was something like that. But this was a phone, and they went bankrupt. And they spent a lot of money marketing it. A lot of you guys, especially those of you who are tech geeks and were very familiar with the early versions of cell phone and mobile phone technology, you may remember this phone. And they claimed that you could be on top of the Himalayas and you could connect to anybody in the world with this phone. And what they found out was that while you could connect to anybody in the world with from the Himalayas, it was a little bit of a different story if you were in the city someplace. Then all of a sudden, you know...
Yeah, you couldn't get nobody. I remember that phone.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, it's like a big brick phone.
Oh, the big brick phones. Everyone knows those.
No, but this was more than just the big old brick phone. This was a phone that had made all these claims. And I'm reminded now, it's funny how things have changed so rapidly, we forget these phases that we went through. But the phone thing was really funny. The whole thing with the phones. I remember I was at the NBA Finals in Detroit. I was at the 1988 NBA Finals. It was June. It was 88. And there I was with a mobile phone. And I thought this was just fantastic. And they had sent me the radio station I was working for at the time, KLSX, here in Los Angeles. And we were playing classic rock at the time, and I was the morning guy. And they sent me back to Detroit with the Lakers. And I traveled with the Lakers to Detroit for one of the road games. And in any event, make a long story short, I thought it was so cool. I was there in the stands, and I was calling the station, and, hi, this is Phil Hendry, and you could actually hear the crowd, see? Isn't this cool? Because before this, all you had were payphones, literally. I mean, you had nothing other than a payphone. Now you could sit in the crowd, you can hear the cheers. And I even called friends of mine. I must have run up a bill on that phone that was pretty significant. That was the beginning of the cell phone or the mobile phone craze. I shouldn't call it mobile because there were mobile phones in cars, you know.
Yeah, your dad had one, didn't he?
Yeah, my dad had one of those radio phones. Anybody out there remember their dad with a radio phone? Did your father, a lot of the guys that worked in construction, guys that needed to be in touch with their crew or guys that needed to be in touch with other members of their effort, their company, and they were mobile, you often saw those guys with those antennas, you know?
Well, are you talking about the police?
No, not the police, but...
No, General, other regular people.
Regular people? You mean the average person had this radio telephone technology?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and why? Is that bad?
Well, I would think that it would be of concern, given the number of people that like to fool around and act like idiots, you know, and try to jam the signal and otherwise do harm as we're trying to get things done.
Okay, your voice is drying out.
Yes, I know.
All right, and so, well, I don't think that happened, General. My dad had one of those mobile phones, and it had the antenna. He always knew a guy with a mobile phone because he had the antenna in the middle of the trunk, at the back of the car. You saw that weird antenna that was there. Aha, that guy's got a, or that's a cop. That was a sure giveaway that was a cop, like a, you know.
Other than the fact that it was a black and white?
Yeah, other than the fact that if you missed that detail, you know.
You didn't see all the black and white, man. You'd be deaf, dumb, and blind.
Yeah, he's kidding.
I know he's kidding.
No, you don't. You're...
All right, take it easy. I know, he knows I'm kidding. I am kidding, and you know he knows that I know, okay?
Well,
I'm kidding. So, yeah, so these mobile phones, man. So this thing came out, this phone that I was talking about, this brick, this thing that you could go to the Himalayas with, and it was suddenly very evident to all concerned, that's fine, and isn't that wonderful that we can actually call from the Himalayas, but here's a better idea. How about if I'm just able to call across the street? And that proved to be a slightly more difficult problem.
Well, what was the problem? You're saying that, that the phone was ineffective for simple calls, but if you wanted to call from the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Now, why would anyone want to call from the Himalayas? Excuse me, I know my voice cracked.
Yeah, and water's not helping it, huh?
Well, I'll get it figured out, but why would anyone want to call from the Himalayas?
All right, well, people wouldn't want to call from the Himalayas. It was a selling point. It was a selling point. It was they would say this about the phone, and they would say, ha-ha, look at this. This is a mobile phone. This thing's fantastic. It'll contact you from the Himalayas, Jack.
It will.
Yes, and a person has to use it. Wow.
What did you think, bud?
You're saying a phone can dial itself.
No, the phone can't dial itself. No, you're right. I'm sorry. I should have pointed that out, bud. Thank you. The phone couldn't dial itself. You had to call.
Yeah, because you did say it would call.
Yeah, I know. I did say it would call. No, no. That would be something for the future, you know, technocrats of the world to work out, that your phone will actually call for you.
Well, what's so funny about that? That seems mentally deficient.
What seems mentally deficient about? Imagine if you had a phone that would call 911 for you if you couldn't call it yourself.
Well, I mean, you mean if it's not there?
Yeah, if your phone's not there. And you're in trouble, and your phone would...
Well, how would the phone sense this? The only reason that I would think... Do you remember that poor boy that had his arms... Well, I don't want to say.
What?
Oh, don't bring that. There's a poor boy that lost his arms in a farming accident. And this poor kid that literally had to dial the phone. Oh, I don't even... It's...
Oh, I remember that young man. He had to dial the phone with a pencil.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Really?
Yeah, with a phone like that, he'd just say, hey, phone. You know, I got no arms now, so go ahead and make the call. And...
All right. Thank you very much for clearing that up. Welcome to the program tonight, folks. We've got a fire here in the L.A. area. I'm not going to go into any great detail on this. We will have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police here in just a moment. We have had, I believe, 4 people injured. 1 woman and 2 firefighters sustaining, so that's 3, minor injuries as of this report, which I just now done did download. And I am hoping that it will remain that way. Jay will be with us to give us some update on, and I told you it was hot, and with the heat comes the dry, and with the dry comes the, whatever, comes the fire. Now they've made an arrest, they've made 3 arrests. According to according to Chief Staub, of the Los Angeles, actually the chief of the Glendora Police Department, Chief Tim Staub, he said at a news conference these people were apologetic. So let me give you this from the beginning. The chief of the Glendora Police, Tim Staub, and by the way, to the guy on Facebook who was writing from Santa Monica the following, and I quote, where's Glendora? That a way to really telegraph that you're brand spanking new to town, man, and you can't find your ass with both hands. Glendora's out there in the sort of the northeastern part of the county, should you, you know, need to get out there. Anyway, this fast-moving brush fire erupted on Thursday morning. This morning, it's quickly burned 1,700 acres. There were structures affected. There were homes that were evacuated. The police in Glendora said that 3 men had been arrested in connection with the blaze. They're calling it the Colby Fire, which broke out just before 6 a.m. In the Angeles National Forest. The chief of Glendora Police said at a news conference the 3 men had apparently been camping in the Angeles National Forest. At least 1 man told detectives they'd been tossing pieces of paper into a campfire when a breeze kicked up and nearby brush caught fire. The men are cooperating with police. The men, Clifford Henry, Jonathan C. Jarrell, and Stephen Aguirre, were arrested on charges of recklessly starting a fire and were being held on a $20,000 bail. I just heard that they made bail. And they are out. Mr. Aguirre identified himself as homeless. Chief Staub said the man who did discuss the blaze was apologetic. And as I mentioned, the 3 people that are injured. All right, we'll be back here with more of this. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, will come on and talk a little bit with us about, you know, fire abatement. And we're not going to get specific with this.
Well, he'll come on and give some advice. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. World-famous Phil Henry Show. And by the way, Margaret, you've been rehearsing for the one-man show, right?
I didn't... Oh, for God.
I'm not supposed to say nothing.
sorry. I mean,
I wanted it to be a big surprise. What a clown act you are.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Hey, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. And I just realized we can't bring Jay Sanis on tonight.
Why is that?
Well, we can't bring him on in this segment. We do have a malfunctioning phone. Now, we can bring Jay on by way of one or two other lines that we have, but we're going to have to do that, folks, in our next segment. So I apologize. We do have a bit of a malfunction. We had Verizon over here today. What the hell was the problem with Verizon today?
Yeah, they come over today. And anyway, I know.
Wait a minute. I'll tell him. You have a ISDN line, Phil, and they'd come over to recalibrate or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Verizon. Verizon was charging the Phil Hendry Show and associated production facilities. They were charging us about $2,000 a month for this ISDN line, and I found out from people in the know that we were getting bent over, if you will.
Well, that's a very crude way of putting it.
It's a very crude way of putting it, but fairly accurate. And we said, well, no, that's not going to happen. So I think what happened was they had a tech over here and they were doing something. But in the process, of course, now we're saving money on our ISDN line, and now our newsmaker line is not working. But we will have Jay Sanis on in the coming segment to talk with us a little bit about this fire. Now, the other guest that we're going to have this evening is Bob Green. He also is subject to the same restrictions and proscriptions that we're experiencing tonight.
Quit talking all fancy and everything.
Yeah, Phil, I notice you're getting fancy.
What do you mean he's getting fancy?
I've got proscriptions.
Yeah, I love it when Dickman mocks. Go ahead, Dickman, do it.
Yeah, the proscriptions.
All right, you want me to belch you? Because I will.
Dad, man, you're all talking big.
I'm talking big, huh? Am I using words that are too big, too many syllables? Okay, fine.
Well, you told me about the time that guy almost got in a fight with him.
What guy I almost got in a fight with?
You were talking before the program about some lummox, some meathead at a party that objected to the word that you used.
Oh, that guy was a long time ago, long, long time ago. I was at a party. And I used a word like rendezvous. It was something that, to me, is not a big word. This dumbass, I'm telling you, this dumbass who looked like he was ready to, he looked like he was ready to throw down at a second's notice. He was looked like he was in a bad mood. And I used this word. He goes, rendezvous, what's that mean? And he's looking around at people trying to get a little bit of a witness on how messed up I am because I used like a three-syllable word or four-syllable word and all he knows are two and one. He's got cat down. He's got mom me and anything more than that.
Yeah, what happened?
Nothing. I just looked at the guy like he was some freak, and I walked outside, and he followed me out, and I had to beat the crap out of him. Now, I...
Did you really?
No, nothing happened. I'll tell you why nothing happened, because he was the brother of the people that were hosting the party, so...
Right. Is that so? You didn't fight the guy because, yeah, right, Hendry. He probably would have kicked your ass around the block for drill.
Maybe. He was a big guy. I mean, I'm not. What is it with you guys?
Well, you're talking all about when you talk about a big word.
Guys, I'm going to quote. I better not say who I'm quoting. I'll just tell you this, that a word, an unusual word, is like an unusual music chord, like A diminished. A diminished is an unusual chord, but it makes beautiful music. I see language the same way. It may be an unusual word, but it makes beautiful music. Hit it, bud.
Hey, Mr. Henry, very good. I'm convinced.
Thank you. Bob Green's going to be on with us as we continue our discussion of the paranormal into tonight. What happened to Mr. Green in Canada, I don't believe, but he'd like us to believe that he was, quote-unquote, assaulted by Bigfoot or a Sasquatch or Bigfoot type creature. I don't know what it is. I personally don't believe that Bigfoot exists, as I've said to you. I think it's time to bring some sense back into this, you know.
What do you mean bring some sense? So because people like Art Bell and George Norrie believe it, or at least give dignity to people that believe these things, you will not.
No, it's not that I don't want to give them dignity. I think it's time to bring some insanity back.
You said insanity.
I said sanity.
No, it was a Freudian slip. Now, look, Phil,
I did say sanity, General.
All right, but let's look at this. You want to reintroduce the restrictions on the imagination and the curiosity of mankind because you do not believe personally in the existence of the what is the thing? It's called Largefoot?
Bigfoot.
Of the Bigfoot. Now, I don't know whether Bigfoot exists. I don't know whether what is the thing?
What?
What, General?
The Squatch. The Squash?
No, that's not, it's the same thing, Sasquatch.
Well, what's the abominable snowman?
The abominable snowman is the same thing as a Sasquatch, same thing as a big. It's the same creature, only in different continents.
It's the same creature, only on different continents. Is that what you just said?
Yes, yes, that's what I said.
All right. Well, I think these things, though unusual, deserve our scrutiny and deserve our curiosity and even our study and research. And I don't think you can out of hand dismiss these things.
I'm not out of hand dismissing it. If you think about it, there has been no evidence whatsoever. No evidence whatsoever.
Wait a minute. What about that film that shows a big ape running through the weeds?
Yes, that's a good point. I saw the film footage. It looked like an 8mm film of what looked like a large ape on two legs. So it wasn't like a regular ape, but it was a big ape. It was strolling, so it looked human, you know?
Oh, sure. Sure, it looked human. Yeah, you put an ape costume on a man, he's going to look like he's walking like a man.
No, Phil. No.
This is the skepticism that Mr. Henry brings to the discussion that he thinks is healthy, and I say, no, sir. I think the big ape, it's called Big Ape.
Bigfoot!
All right, I'm sorry, I don't know the name of it.
Bigfoot is the name of it. I'm willing to believe in anything, man, where you can lay a little bit of proof on me. That's all I'm asking. If you call me a skeptic, of course, everybody should be skeptical, folks, unless the evidence leads you to an eventual conclusion that's provable. See, the evidence is, well, wow, maybe there's a Bigfoot. And for the longest time, of course, I wanted to believe that, just like everybody else. I wanted to believe that the Bermuda Triangle was a real metaphysical or paranormal or whatever you want to call it, event. But there just has never been any evidence presented to that. And so anyway, that's what I'm going to be talking about. Now, Bob Green tonight is going to be with us. He's a fairly down-to-earth guy.
Well, Bob Green is a man who has a lot of issues. He's about 5'7", going on 8 feet tall. Well, he is, Phil, and he has issues with women, he has issues with minorities, and now he has an issue with what you think is a non-existent creature. I think there's every possibility it does exist, but he claims that it manhandled him or otherwise assaulted him biblically. All right?
Well,
now hold on, I'm not done yet. Assaulted him biblically. See? And this is where our paths diverge, mine and Mr. Green's.
And mine, okay.
No, your path diverged from his way before it diverged from anyone else's, because you don't even believe in it.
Yeah, that's right. You don't even believe in the existence of the foot. And so the...
It's called Bigfoot.
What did I say?
You call it the foot.
It's called the Bigfoot.
I'm sorry. You don't even believe in the existence of the Bigfoot. And so your path not only diverges from his, but you won't even come into his neighborhood because of what is the stench of his thinking, you see? That's what I take exception to.
Yeah, okay, General. You know, make any kind of a weird statement you want.
Well, what's weird about that?
Oh, come on. Nonetheless, we will have Bob Green on. He'll talk about that. Jay Sanis will give us the update there on the thing, the fire. Now, don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. We'd like you to visit and become a Backstage Pass member. This is the only way you can really get the full sniffing smell, the aromatic, the whole, you know.
Yes, just the wafting scent.
Yeah, just the whole scent of the Phil Henry Show. By the way, I saw we're running the Kevin Pollak interview that he did with me, and there's an ad before that, and I'm telling you, all bets are off, all the barriers are down. This is an ad. It's an online ad. A beautiful redheaded British woman sitting in a bathroom stall talking about wiping and what is the best wipe.
Blah, talk about, like, wiping her nose.
No.
No, she's talking about wiping her rear end. I watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, she is. She's right there. So, Margaret, I owe you an apology. You with all of your bathroom talk. There it is, this lady.
I don't talk about wiping after a... I don't talk about after a bowel movement.
I can hear... The people can hear that, okay? You whispering, they can hear it.
Did you hear it?
Yes, I heard it. All right, we're going to come back here in just a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with our deep, close, personal friend, Mr. Green.
Mr. Green Jean.
That's not funny.
And also, we're going to be talking...
You're talking about the foot, or not the foot, the big thing, the big...
The big foot, man. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Robert Green with us from Buena Park, California, and hopefully, Bob, this is going to work out. We have you on one of our alternate lines here. I don't know if Bob is there or not. Is Bob there?
Yeah, Mr. Green, are you there? Mr. Green, is you there? Is you there?
What do you mean, is you there? Do you speak English?
Sorry.
Let me have that. Bob, can you hear me? How you doing, Bob? This is Phil Hendry.
Oh, I don't know. Oh.
What was that?
Bob, this is Margaret. Are you there?
What the hell is going on? Did you mind telling me?
It sounds to me like he's got the same, the wind that's been blowing. Let me talk to him. Bob, this is General Shaw. I understand that the wind that's blowing is certainly drying out everyone's ability, drying the throat area. And other, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, General. You're right. I did have a bit of a problem breathing earlier because of an asthma condition.
So you have asthma, Bob?
I've got a little bit of asthma. And the fires as well as the dry air has caused me.
It sounds like he's got the same problem you've got.
Yeah. Bob, this is General Shaw. If you could hang with us, we wanted to talk about you and what was going on between you two, anyway.
What do you mean, what was going on between us two?
Oh, hold on for a minute. Let me do this. Thank you very much, General Shaw. Bob, it's Phil Hendry.
Hold on. What was going on? What's going on between you two?
What two are you talking about?
Mr. Green and the foot, or whatever you call it.
It's not called a foot, and there was nothing going on in the sense that you mean, General. I'm laughing, and Phil, it's all right. I understand the General, and I respect him. This is probably a subject matter that is not too close to his area of knowledge. General, Bigfoot is a creature of considerable size that many consider to be, I consider it to be, the missing link between man's animal beginnings and man's eventual great leap forward, that period some 500,000 years ago when man became man, what with speech and so forth.
All right, well, okay, and that's fine. But my understanding was you are claiming some kind of a sexual assault.
That is exactly what I'm claiming. And before it gets juvenile and I hear in the background Mr. Dickman or Mr. Leonard tittering and squeaking with laughter, let me tell you that I have petitioned the Canadian government to lift restrictions. And this is a petition that is an old petition, Phil. You know that I first talked with you about this almost 8-9 years ago.
I do. And in that 8-9 year period, do you go to Canada hunting on a regular basis?
I visit Canada a couple of times a year for fishing and hunting. I have a place in Selkirk, Manitoba, up on the Hudson Bay. And I'm very, very mindful and appreciative of the beauty of Canada. But that does not mean that I, that nature, if you will, in the person of Bigfoot or any other animal, it doesn't mean because I appreciate the environment and I'm a lover of nature, that nature looks at me as something that, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll use Bob Green because he's a soft touch and he can't do anything about it and he'll just lay back and let it happen.
Well, I don't really know what it is you're talking about. You sound like you're a little resentful.
Yes, I'm very resentful, yeah.
Okay, Bob, I've never known you politically to be a, shall we say, I don't want to say liberal, because I don't think environmentalism is necessarily liberal conservative. I think some of the most conservative people in this country can be ardent environmentalists. I've seen it happen, but I will say that this is a stand you're taking as an environmentalist, an appreciative environmentalist of the beauty, as you say, of Canada, of our northern neighbor, and yet you want the right to kill Bigfoot, isn't that right?
Yeah, that is exactly correct.
All right, well, here's where I want to ask the question, Bob. This is General Shaw. Can the caller hear me?
General, I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. The right to kill Bigfoot as the result of this thing manhandling you, this is what you're claiming?
Over the period of 3 days and 3 nights, I was held against my will in a cabin that I was renting from the Suratami family. This is, as I mentioned, up in Selkirk, Manitoba. I was held against my will by this creature, and I was repeatedly used in a manner that, let me tell you this. When I first went to the local sheriff up there and they laughed in my face, I said, okay, that's on you. Because the next time I run into Bigfoot, I'll blow it in half. I'll get my Winchester carbine, the 330, and I'll blow this thing from here to hell.
And that's your feeling now?
That is my feeling now, yes.
All right, and this is as the result of this thing sexually assaulting you.
I did not say anything about that. I would rather not discuss anything having to do with that. But I suppose you could infer that.
All right, well, we don't have to talk too much about that. But here's the problem. With Canada passing a law including Bigfoot, even though this creature has not been seen by you say you've seen this thing.
You understand what I'm saying? This thing held me against it. It held me against my will.
The Bigfoot held you against your will.
That is correct. Now, usually at this point in these interviews that I do with Mr. Henry, I hear from Margaret Gray, and I'm not hearing anything from her, and I'm going to have to assume that that means she's sitting there laughing and chuckling and having herself a good time. Is that correct?
Bob, I want to say something without being interrupted, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
You're right, I am sitting here I'm not chuckling and I'm not laughing, but I'm simply not engaging because this is absolutely preposterous. You're claiming that this creature, the big thing, or the Bigfoot, or whether they call it, the Sasquatch, held you against your will at an undisclosed location, almost as if, let me ask you this, did it call for ransom?
That's dirty pool.
It's not a bad question, Bob. If the thing holds you against your will, she's asking, what kind of an animal is this that can hold a guy against his will and do the things that you claim that it did without asking for some kind of ransom money? I mean, it sounds stupid, but this sounds like an intelligent creature.
It's very intelligent. It's a human. It's a man, except that it's not quite man. You got to understand something. The Bigfoot is, by all intents and purposes, intelligent, except it's still ape-like. It hasn't picked up to the next level, which is the full human. It's still ape. It still has ape characteristics. I believe that it considers itself every bit as good as any human it sees, and yet it cannot make itself known, given the fact that it's a hairy, big, ugly son of a gun, and the first thing you want to do when you see it is blow it away. I think I'm the only man on Earth with an actual good reason to shoot the damn thing when I see it. Everybody else wants to shoot it just because it looks weird and goes strolling around like it's up for a constitutional. even though it's covered in hair and looks like a big, ugly freak.
All right.
Miss Gray, are you?
Yes, I heard what you said, and I'm still not a believer. And I think, Bob, this is it's a bad publicity stunt on your part. I hope that you find it in yourself, you know.
Find it in myself what? To lie?
I hope you find it in yourself not to use this as an excuse to get the Canadian government to change its laws regarding hunting so that it liberalizes the targets and the seasons that are available to hunters in Canada. That's what I think your real plan is.
All right, Bob, is that the case? You're just trying to get Canada to open up the hunting season more?
No, it's not. If you want, you can take a look at the bill that I submitted through the Canadian MP up there, Terry Stamp, and I said I only want the right to kill this thing. Everything else, and I want it to be only me. So it's an unusual bill.
You want to be the only guy allowed to kill Bigfoot?
That's right, and I say it. I want to be the only guy allowed to kill Bigfoot because of what it did to me in July of 2009 or 2000 something, and I give the circumstances and the address of the cabin.
Yeah. All right. Well.
What do you mean? Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, very strange request, and I think that you're going to have a lot more people scratching their head between now and any time that it gets passed.
Oh, there's no question about that. I'm certainly aware of that. But if you think that I'm going to back off because people are going to give me a look, people are going to look at me and scratch their heads and scratch their crotch and shake their head and go, wow, what a weird freak. Man, I've been, you know, you think that bothers me? People have been looking at me like that my whole life. And not because I'm a weird-looking freak. It's because I got money. Money.
Well, Bob, you know, money doesn't necessarily make someone odious. I think it's the way that you flash your money around.
Flash my money around because money gets things done. I'm Bob Gray.
Excuse me, did he hang up?
Yes, he did.
That's my lockout.
No, it isn't. You...
I know I say Margaret Gray, but...
Well, he locked it out that way. What do you want from me, okay? There's Robert Greene, who, through a Canadian MP, a member of Parliament, is looking to change their laws up there having to do with Bigfoot and make it legal for him and only him to shoot it and kill it because it took advantage of him in a cabin.
What are you talking about? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, all right. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and we'll be right back here. We do have Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to give us some update or thereabouts on the whole fire situation. Fire. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Now, what were you doing?
I was crawling around on the floor trying to... That's what I was doing.
I saw you on the floor, but what were you doing?
So I'm on the floor. Sorry.
I'm going to, you know, but it's just a matter of time now before the promise and the actual event finally come together. The promise being my right hand, your nose, the actual event, contact is made.
Man.
That's right. See, that's me in more of my floral way of putting things.
Well, what were you doing?
I was on the floor, if you must know. I was crawling around down there to find out where are these phone lines going around here. Do you understand that I'm talent? I shouldn't have to deal with this. I'm the talent. I should have people here holding my hand, allowing me to dunk pound cake with a scented handkerchief while the rest of you crawl on the floor.
Oh, well, excuse us.
Yeah, I'm sure. What do you think you are, all special and everything?
Yes, I'm special.
Well, Phil, excuse me, but I'm just a working man. I don't play that.
Well, I'm sorry, General. Of course I'm kidding. I'd love to pull that, though, you know, that whole talent thing.
Yeah, where's the talent again?
Oh.
I'm joking.
Uh-huh. So what I was doing, if you must know, I was trying to find out where the phone lines are connected around here because we've had a problem with our newsmaker line. Now, everything is cool when it comes to our, whatever the hell that thing is that we're doing. What is that thing? Oh, yeah. When it comes to the other phone bank that we're using here tonight, everything is good, but the regular phone bank is all jacked up. So what are you going to do? All right, we got Jay Santos coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And as I mentioned to you, we are monitoring. Jay will be monitoring for us the fires and all that kind of thing. Now, tell me about what you say you're rehearsing your part. It's a one-man show, folks, but as you know, as part of our one-man show, we are going to have, Margaret Gray will make a brief appearance. I guess we can tell people that much. What have you been rehearsing?
Well, what I am rehearsing, Phil, is something that I've believed in for quite some time. And that is what I call the free-form lyric. And now, the free-form lyric... What are you doing, bud? He's looking at his watch, Phil. That's very rude.
This is going to take some time.
Bud, if it takes some time, it takes some time. When you look at your watch and you're looking at someone, it distracts people. Because it makes them think that, you're all impatient and it makes everyone feel bad.
Not that I care what you think, bud, but when you're looking at your watch... It's rude, and I want to kick your face in. You see, other than that, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
So, as you know, Phil, for the longest time, I've been sculpting, I've been buffing.
What are you laughing at now?
Laughing at the word buffing.
Well, Margaret, don't use the word buff. You know that a mental midget like this...
I'm sorry. I have been sculpting and shaping... My approach to the free-form lyric. As you know, I believe that all that is really needed in a song is the title of the song, one of the significant lyrics, and then the rest is really about melody and about the dance, or if you will, the dance. The dance is when you and your husband or boyfriend or girlfriend go out onto a dance floor after a few drinks, and you shake your rear end, and you think you're something out of Chorus Line, and you look like you have...
Muscular dystrophy.
Yes.
Well, what is so funny about that, for God's sake?
Nothing, General. It's...
Well, I'm sorry, General, but I've been out on some dance floors, in nightclubs, and in dance joints around this town. And people that get out on the dance floor...
You know, it's funny. I've seen people dancing at any given night throughout the many... generations of dancers that I've seen. I've been in nightclubs and I've been in dance places for 40 years. 40 years from the 70s when I used to go into places and disco was happening through the 80s when everybody was back to, it was techno, it was new wave, it was power pop, all that crap, into the 90s when suddenly R&B made another big push and hip-hop. I mean, I've seen all kinds of dancing and also sort of world music and the the techno music of the modern techno music. I've seen a lot of people who dance really, really well. I don't know if people practice,
Well, I know when I was a young girl, I would practice my dancing. I would know, oh, God, I'm going over to Sylvia's this weekend. We're having a slumber party. Or I'm going to a dance at the school. I better practice my dancing. One, two, one. And so I've always been big on that. Always.
Yeah, but you're talking about practicing. Now you ought to know how to do it.
I do know how to do it, Dickman. Don't worry about that. All right?
Yeah, well.
What does that mean?
Watch it, bud. Now, she's going to... One of these days, I'm not going to hold her back.
I didn't say anything.
You said... When I said I do know how to do it, I saw some drool collect at the corner of your mouth.
No, well...
You say the word, and he's a dead man.
I'm not saying the word on anything. So, tell me about this, then. So, what have you been practicing?
What I've been practicing, Phil, as I mentioned, is the free-form lyrics. So, for instance, I was practicing a song today over at the Tanner Glenhauser rehearsal space. Do you know Tan Glenhauser?
Tan Glenhauser?
You don't know Tan? Oh, Tan's wonderful. He's just wonderful. Tan,
Why is his name Tan?
What?
Why do you call him Tan? It sounds all stupid.
His name's Tanner. His name's Tanner.
You just went, his name's Tanner.
Hey, bud, so you're sitting there waiting for a reaction?
What?
The guy's name is Tanner, and what's short for Tanner is Tan.
I've known Tan for many years. Look at them now, they're laughing.
that's just a dumb name.
All right, the guy's got a dumb name. So you've known Tan, then what?
What do you mean, then what? You're making it sound like, what are you, writing a filthy letter for Penthouse?
No, I mean, what? So you know Tan.
So I was over there, and I was practicing. The song I was doing was I Wish You Love. It goes like this. I wish you bluebirds in the spring, a cozy fire, and a leafy glade. You know, well, really, it says, and most of all, when snowflakes fall, I wish you love. And in July, a leafy glade. Okay, so now she's into the summer, and she's whiffing him. Oh, God.
Is that your teeth?
It's my bridge, yes. She's whiffing him love in a leafy glade. So it goes, I wish you love, and in a leafy, leafy glade. Hey, it's a leafy, leafy glade. You're there in a leafy glade. It's a leafy glade. You see?
No, I don't see. I mean,
what is that supposed to do?
It doesn't do it. It gives you the essence of the song.
So you're singing leafy glade, leafy glade.
Forget it.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Margaret, come on.
No.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we continue here with this fascinating discussion of
leafy glade
of freeform lyric.
Here, let me give me the microphone. Leafy glade in a leafy, leafy glade. What is this garbage?
It's the bumper music. We're going out. Phil Henry Show.
Oh, God.